with thoughts all a-bloomy, the winter sky. Just take my advice and put your best suits on and come to the Cayley down in Derry Bar. For 'tis there you'll find music to your heart's desire. A glass of good liquor and a seat beside a roaring fire. So come to the Cayley and you'll weep no more. Forget all your troubles as you pass the door. Your way won't be lonesome as we travel on. The long road we shorten with the cheery song. You'll be footlight and easy as a skip and fawn if you come to the Cayley down in Derry Vaughan. For 'tis there you'll find music to your heart's desire. A glass of good liquor and a seat beside a roaring fire. So come to the Cayley and you'll weep no more. Forget all your troubles as you pass the door. They'll be calling to greet you with a smiling face, to dance you till morning with the modest grace. They'll be kidney lefosa and a Kushkin lawny if you come to the Cayley down in Derry Vaughan. First is there you'll find music to your heart's desire, a draft of good liquor and a seat beside a roaring fire. So come to the Cayley and you'll weep no more. Forget all your troubles as you pass the door.
Yeah, 刚刚 we're singing a song by Leo McGuire. Come to the Cayley. Irish Radio Network, you will say. IrishRadio.com, worldwide, the family show live from New York.
If your heart isn't angry, you will lose it there. Tomorrow in a lining with the nut brown hair, you'll be put over happy by the crack of dawn. If you come to the Cayley down in Derry Vaughan, horses there you'll find music to your heart's desire. A glass of good liquor and a seat beside a roaring fire. So come to the Cayley and you'll weep no more. Forget all your troubles as you pass the door. So come to the Cayley and you'll weep no more. No more, forget all your troubles as you pass the door.
All right. Who or what group actually would have had the most influence in changing or taking Irish songs and giving them a new twist? Who, if we go back to say the 50s, would change music forever here? Well, they were the Clancy Brothers, and they came initially to New York, and they played in places like Greenwich Village. I was a musician of sorts in the Jager House, playing with Nicky Carson's band. It was the first time, not the first time I heard of them, the first time I met them, and it was a great, great experience. They shook up Irish music, and they introduced songs and tunes to America, many of them replacing, the songs of from vaudeville and, some Irish-American songs. They took them and gave them, they uplifted them. All right. Now, here's a March medley by the famous Clancy Brothers.
Yes. From Carnegie Hall,
1961.
For the vice of day in Dublin town in 1916. Hey, the vice of day, the vice of there.
Coming up in a few minutes, friends, we're going to link up with one of the honorees, the first responders of, you know, of the St. Patrick's Day festivities of the day. St. Patrick's Day in New York is, you know, devoted entirely today and dedicated to first-line responders. So we will we try to see if we can get only the tracking error down now. Kate Enright O'Neill. But in the meantime, let's see if we can take a song from Noel Henry Show Band. Okay. Irish Radio, Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, worldwide, the Flannelly Show.
Come with me over the ocean, to a place where the heather and wildflowers grow. We'll cross over the sand and play the high road, over the hills to the county Mayo. Stop for a wee drop in Newcastle Fair, for we know that we'll find a warm welcome in there. And we'll sit round the fire with the heart glowing bright, and the songs and the stories your heart will delight. So come with me over the ocean, to a place where the heather and wildflowers grow. We'll cross over the sand and we'll take the high road, over the hills to the county Mayo. I'll show you the beauty of Atlas Fair Strand and the gentle Kilpatrick that reigns o'er the land, where the pilgrims all gather and worship and pray, and you're sure to find peace and tranquility there. So come with me over the ocean, to a place where the heather and wildflowers grow. We'll cross o'er the sand and we'll take the high road, over the hills to the country they know.
Well, mullet's wild grandeur we cannot ignore, and Newport's the jewel of the western shore. Through Westport and Lewisburg we'll wander afar, not forgetting Claremont and Elchester Bar. So come with me over the ocean, to a place where the heather and wildflowers grow. We'll cross o'er the Shannon and we'll take the high road, over the hills to the county Mayo. The people of Mayo will capture your heart, when you're with them you'll wish that you've never withdrawn. For the boys are all hearty and quick with a smile, and the lassies are fairest in every night. So come with me over the ocean, to a place where the heather and wildflowers grow. We'll cross o'er the channel and we'll take the high road, over the hills to the county Mayo.
From Newport in County Mayo, Donald Henry and Irish Chopin. A number of first responders are being honored today by the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, and among those is indeed Kate O'Neill, MSNRN, Northwell Health Emergency Medicine Assistant Vice President. And she's Kate Enright O'Neill. Kate, I just want to get to slip in that Enright there. So my son-in-law, you know, your uncle doesn't get after me. You're very welcome.
How are you?
I am fine. Tell me now, you probably more than anybody we know have been closer to the reality of the COVID-19 for the past year, the pandemic. And first of all, congratulations again, Kate, on being honored by St. Patrick's Day Parade. Tell us a little bit about the realization that this was not something. You've had a career in nursing and healthcare, but when did you and those in Northwell Health realize that this was something that was so horrific that it would indeed take a lot of you know, ingenuity and just tell us.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, ignorance was a little bit of bliss at the start. We really didn't, you know, I don't think anybody was really prepared or expected what we were going to face. You know, the first, I'll never forget the first couple of weeks, we were seeing surges across our EDs, and in my role, I support the operations of all the emergency departments at Northwell, and responding to those who needed assistance, setting up, alternate care sites to care for the volume surges of patients who were moderate to low acuity that we could divert out of the emergency departments was the first kind of task at hand that I was involved with. And then shortly thereafter, things just escalated rather quickly over, a week or two, and we were so busy and trying to figure out what to do next and how to respond. And we have, at Northwell, we're fortunate that we have a complex emergency management structure. So things really started to take off rather quickly. But I think, you know, looking back on it, we didn't realize what we were experiencing until we were really in the thick of it and working through it and trying to figure things out as we were doing it. But yes, this was like no other event that I've ever experienced. I worked as a nurse in Ireland and also here in New York for the last nearly 18 years, and this is definitely career defining and, and something to experience that hopefully we'll learn from and put forth for better changes in the future.
Okay, well, we had Mike, the famous Mike Dowling on the other day, and spent quite an amount of time with us, and now are telling us about the ins and outs of how the hospital system and your healthcare system works. But I do want to ask you, though, about the current atmosphere. Are people in your area, are they hopeful, like the rest of us are, that this is coming to an end?
Yeah, I think, we saw this over the summer, right, where we really had our prevalence of COVID new cases start to, trend down. And people were hopeful, but at the same time, a little bit scared about what the future was going to hold. As we approach the flu season every year, we get a surge in viral illnesses. So we were, we were optimistic, but we were also fearful of what could be coming. And I think as you look back over history with all these pandemics, there's an ebb and flow to it that's usually about 18 months. And so people were a little, just waiting for it to resurge. And I think that's what we experienced, over the winter this year.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, now we're coming into the summer. COVID is not gone, and it's not going to leave us for some time. So it's really learning a new normal.
And it's not going to be helped by the warmth of the summer. We went through that already. We were hopeful last summer, but that didn't pan out. So, and of course, everybody is looking forward on both sides of the Atlantic, particularly today, to, some degree of hope that this will, in fact, develop into herd immunity, but again, being cautious not to, be over-optimistic, and particularly in the timeline.
Yes, people are getting vaccinated. I think we've all learned how to adjust our lifestyles, for the most part. It's been difficult, but I think as soon as people are vaccinated, we get that herd immunity, hopefully we can adjust our lifestyles a little bit more so that we have a little bit more, freedom to move about and gather again. But I think, this is definitely a new adjustment that's going to be with us for time.
Kate, again, for all of us, we want to congratulate you and obviously pass on our thanks and best wishes to, the other 72,999 employees there. But we, by the way, you will be part of a special TV program tonight at 7 o'clock on NBC TV, which is, that is terrific. And we assume that you have a couple of super enthusiastic viewers in that your children, Jack and Kara, they're going to have to give up the cartoons or whatever it is that, that they would normally do. And, of course, Finbar, your husband, again, Anya Sheridan, he reminds me that he is from County Longford. Now, I don't know what significance that is, but anyway.
I'm not too sure, but they're very proud of it.
And I know that you have a special person or more in Ireland that you'd like to give a shout out to on this very special day.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, all my family that are there, my mother and my in-laws and my cousins, aunts and uncles, just a big hello to them. And thank you to them, as always, for being supportive family.
Kate, you are indeed very special to all of us. And we cash in on the fact that, of course, the Enrights are part of our own family. We don't bring it up too often, but definitely on a day like today, and with your amazing honor and recognition, we want to say a very happy St. Patrick's Day. Again, that's NBC TV tonight at 7 o'clock. And by the way, it will be repeated on this Saturday on NBC at 7:30. Kate O'Neill, you are indeed somebody we are very proud of. And happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thanks very much. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, a very special guest indeed. I was going to... We're listening, friends, to the Bofield Cayley Band. More than 100 years in business. Bofield, actually, it's the next village to Cherry Castle and everything else where we all grew up. Bofield Cayley Band. And they made their debut in America at the opening of the official launch of the Irish Hunger Memorial at Battery Park City. Which, did I mention, I should have called. The Irish Hunger Memorial came from where? Fatima. Well, we're seeing it down the block from the site of the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, and the reason actually today's program is coming to you because it is sponsored by Tourism Ireland, and I want to welcome Alison Metcalf, Head of North America, Australia, New Zealand for Tourism Ireland. And Alison, I'm very happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you too, Adrian, and all of your listeners.
So, this is obviously a different time, a different day, but hope is in the air. And it looks like the light at the end of the tunnel is getting a little bit brighter anyway.
I think you're absolutely right. And whilst we're not going to be gathering in person to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, wherever we are, we're still going to be gathering to mark Ireland's National Day and celebrate with family and friends online and through virtual events. So I think we're still going to have a great day. It's really important that we mark Ireland's National Day. It's a time when everybody wants to be Irish, and certainly from a Tourism Ireland perspective, we're really thrilled and delighted to have so many greenings this year. To see the world go green, I think as we speak, we're more than 700 greenings in about more than 60 countries.
Wow.
If people are looking to do something today on St. Patrick's Day, we would encourage you to shine a light, a green light in your window, a candle or something, and share it on social with us. Share it on social using the hashtag Global Greening. We're still going to be celebrating the very best of Ireland. It's a family day, and we're going to be enjoying a ton of great music, song and dance, even if we're not doing it in person.
Absolutely. Now, Liam Neeson is on board worldwide with a message, and I think it's fantastic. We're going to replay it here, but it's a lovely video as well, clip.
It is. It's a fantastic video. We're delighted to have that partnership with Liam Neeson. I think, you know, what we want to do here is recognize that we're all going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day, doing it differently. We want to remind people about what the island of Ireland has to offer at this very special time when the world turns green. And I think, you know, the video, I hope touches the right chord. I think it reminds people, particularly people from the island of Ireland who haven't been able to, you know, get home over the last year or so. It reminds them that we're rolling out the green carpet. And there's a little bit of Ireland in all of us, whether we're Irish or not. And I think Liam catches that. You know, it's all about the heart, and we're all going to have a great time today.
Again, of course, we want to thank you and thank Tourism Ireland for making today's program happen, and also to wish or to send our St. Patrick's greetings to not only all our listeners, but all of those who are looking towards Tourism Ireland, waiting for the plan ahead.
Thank you, Adrian. We can't wait to welcome you all back. We're rolling out the green carpet. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Thank you very much. Okay, and friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.
I've been back home in Ireland just to visit some old friends. But the days have gone by quickly, it was time to leave again. I've had so many wild nights and weeks or two the past. I was almost glad this would be the last. I didn't sleep at all that night, I stayed up till the dawn, singing songs and playing tunes till everyone was gone. By then it was too late for me to go back home to bed, so I opened up the lover beer instead. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, glad to be returning, much glad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be to place that one time. Easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I haven't back too many, just as I was set to leave. I was loaded down with bacon and with sausages and tea, and I couldn't find my ticket as I'm walking out the door, till I emptied all my bags out on the floor. On board the plane, I sip a drink while waiting for the meal, just trying to keep my head from knowing how my stomach feels. There's a baby right behind me, making sure that I won't see. But a flight too full to find another seat. I crossed the ocean to my home away from home. I'd be returning, but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be to place that one time. Easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I'm trying to fill out custom forms, but I can't find a pen. I'm swearing softly to myself, I'll never fly again. There's a woman right in front of me, she's praying to the sea, and someone nearby never washed their feet. I fall asleep at last and there's a pain that puts me down. I ate 10 years while waiting for the bag to come around. But finally I make a home and I'm very settled when I'm already making plans to go again. I've crossed the ocean to my home waiting for. That seems burning, but that's not the goal. I'd like to find a way to be to place that one time. Keep going back and it's hard to say goodbye. I've crossed the ocean to my home waiting for. That seems burning, but that's not the goal. I'd like to find a way to be to make that one try. Keep going back in the heart to make a try.
read particularly for a great number of Irish Americans who, came to New York. And we know we're not forgetting places like Chicago and San Francisco and, Philadelphia, Boston, and so many more. But I think we could take some music from, say, a place called City Center. And again, we've acknowledged Paddy Noonan and Brendan Ward, actually from Mayo, who introduced a lot of the music of Glenn Miller. And when Brendan Ward in City Center, he had a full orchestra, 14, 15 piece band. But between and before, we used to refer to it in the music business as filling in the cracks. Well, filling in the cracks, be damned. Paddy Noonan became a great star who would go on. Paddy passed away in the past year, but his music will live on forever. City Center. I'm going to give a shout out to a nephew of mine, his dad, and the family, who's missed very much. His mom, of course, was Frances Saran from Clare in County Sligo. He's listening to us in Rome, Italy. So, hi, Enda. And, of course, to the most gorgeous girl in Italy, Isabella. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. Now, we head up to the Ashling Irish Community Center, located on McLean Avenue in Yonkers, New York, and we welcome Sandra Feeney Charles, the executive director. And Sandra, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
And the same to you, Adrian, and many of them. Thank you very much. And may I start by saying congratulations on your 51st annual St. Patrick's Day show. What an accomplishment.
Well, thank you. Anya Sheridan, you know, she the hair on her head starts to, on her neck starts to fizzle because she thinks that most people will think that she was a co-founder of the program, and you know how that goes over. You know.
I would not make that mistake myself.
And this, you know, somewhere between, you know, she claims she wasn't born 51 years ago, but I think that's a bit of a, you know, an exaggeration. I want to talk about the center. I want to talk about the Aisling Irish Community Center, which, believe me, has, you know, is not only well known, but before and during the pandemic, your accomplishments are amazing, just fantastic. Maybe you just start with the beginning of the pandemic and you know, what was your plan of action?
Well, it's a good question, Irene. I think like everybody else, I suppose worldwide, we were, felt like our world had been turned upside down because on the 16th of March, we were told that we had to close. And we would have had typically 65 senior members come in for lunch twice a week, and we had to cancel the lunch very quickly. And St. Patrick's celebrations were all cancelled. Our Cayley Band and Bella Group had been signed up to march and in the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and they had events that were booked for events locally, and they were all cancelled. And we got our heads together and very quickly decided, okay, we can't do it at the centre, we'll do it from home. So we made a quick plan to deliver any programmes that we could safely by delivering to people's homes, and anything that we could deliver remotely, we delivered remotely. So the Cayley Band and the singing classes started online. We had an amazing response from the local community with volunteers to deliver meals to the seniors in their homes. And then all our social services and counselling sessions were delivered online or by telephone. So, you know, we just kind of, we kept our heads above water as best we could and tried to reach out to as many as we could without being able to get together in the centre. And in the middle of all that, when things really hit home locally, a lot of people were unemployed, when all the restaurants were closed, construction sites were closed, we quickly realised that a lot of people would go through their savings very quickly. So our chairperson, Katrina Clark, and her husband got together, heads together, and they decided that we had to do something, and why not do it together? So we reached out to, there were five organisations, Irish organisations, locally in New York, the New York GAA, the Aisling Irish Centre, the Emerald Isle Immigration Centre, the New York Irish Centre out in Long Island City in Queens, and the United Irish Counties Association. All five got together and raised over $500,000 for a program called Slauncha, where people could apply for a very small grant, but we were hoping that it would be enough to give people the time to pay their rent and fill the fridge for another month so they could make a decision if they could stay or go without having to feel under, you know, the pressure of the gun that we have to make a decision overnight. You know, one of the ways we interact with our volunteers is through Team Aisling. And Team Aisling is now in, there's a great group out in Queens, there's a group in Rockland, there's a group in the Bronx and in Yonkers. So many people have signed up to be part of Team Aisling, and it started off as a very casual running, walking group.
Briefly, about a huge fundraiser that you have organized to keep everything moving.
Adrian, I'm delighted you asked, because this is a phenomenal project for the Aisling Centre. 25 years ago, the centre started. 2 years ago, we bought our own building. We're halfway through a renovation. The place is going to be beautiful. And we need about another half, it's estimated we need about $500,000 to finish the job. So we're about to launch this week a campaign called Buy a Brick, Build for the Future. So people have the opportunity to go online. They can go straight to ashlandcentre.org and they'll see the logo for Buy a Brick. If you click on that, it'll take you into the website where you can buy a virtual brick. You can make a dedication to somebody you love, somebody you last. The community locally and far spread has always been so supportive of the work that we do. I really think it's going to resonate because really this is their time to give back and I'm very confident that they will.
Ashling Irish Centre, friends, and ashlingirishcentre.org. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Friends, one of Ireland's amazing talents and singers, band leaders, came from and spent a career. He's from Longford, which, you know, when mentioned Longford around here, I should again remind you that Anya Sheridan, who, you know, for the last 25 years has produced the Clannelly Show as executive producer, and all programming on Irish Radio Network USA. Larry Cunningham had a huge following. He indeed travelled, you know, huge in England and Scotland and Wales and particularly in Ireland. But one of his most famous songs is called Lovely Leitrim. And we wanted to dedicate this to all of Anya's brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews in Ireland. Larry Cunningham.
I woke up with a smile. I dreamt that I was back again in dear old parents' eyes. I thought I saw Loch Allen's bank in the valley down below. It was my lovely Leitrim fish. I stood in dance by the sea of branches and light. I headed up for Carrie's town before the dark of night. I passed the moor, that fairy hill where flowers wildly grow. I saw where the shadows flow. The next I saw was a town where their ancient elves walked, where the preaching of her holy monk re-echoed through her hall. I stood with reverence on the spot reluctant far to go. From the town of saints and sages where the shadows all flow, I'll travel far to the great land from the east of the west. But of all the islands I have seen, I love my own best. Ever I return again, there's one place I will go. It'll be to the lovely Leitrim where the shadows fall.
Friends, we're about to welcome, a very good friend of ours, and she's editor-in-chief of Irish Voice newspaper. And, you know, I'm almost in shock, Debbie McGoldrick, because somebody said that you have actually worked in and with and run the Irish Voice newspaper for the past 30 years.
You know, I'm only 31. I don't even know how that can be.
I don't know. And I remember you. I remember you as a teenager. You know, just when
a toddler.
When you got your working papers, and here you are. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Debbie McGoldrick.
And to you and Anya, our great friends.
It's
strange St. Patrick's Day, but you know, we're here and we're talking, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, one of the things that I'm most proud of, Adrian, with the Irish Voice is we were the first newspaper in certainly North America, maybe even the Ireland, the UK. We were the first newspaper before the visa was issued to Gerry Adams in 1994, I believe, who gave Gerry Adams a voice. He wrote regular weekly columns in the Irish Voice about what was going on in the north of Ireland, and he had no other outlets other than the Irish Voice at the time, and we were extremely proud of that and happy to have given him a voice, and really happy to, I think, have played a part in, you know, securing, but just bringing the conversation forward about the peace process and what was going on there, and hopefully getting President, then Governor Clinton involved in what was, you know, a peace process that really bore a lot of fruit, as we know, and thanks to the involvement of Irish America and a lot of Irish activists, and I think the Irish Voice really helped to activate a lot of that, and we're extremely proud of that. You know, the Irish Voice has spent decades championing for things like immigration reform, Morrison visas, before that the Donnelly visas, as you well know, Adrian, you were on the front lines of all of that. We had a lot of issues back in the 80s and 90s that we were very... that we needed to fight for, and we did fight for, and we had a lot of success with. And, you know, I look back on those decades of when things were really happening, and I'm extremely proud of the role that the Irish Voice played in securing a lot of the good things that happened for our community at that time.
Debbie, I just want to ask you about the last year.
Yeah.
The newspapers, obviously, newspapers on newsstands are, you know, few and far between compared to pre-pandemic. What is and how are people accessing, say, the Irish Voice? Is it mostly by mail? Tell us about that.
Adrian, has been the past 12 months has been extremely challenging. Anyone who publishes primarily a print newspaper who's saying otherwise is just not telling the truth. I remember 12 months ago, and you know, we were just shutting down around this time ago, and I was just like, you know, obviously, first of all, afraid. We were so scared of what was going on as far as health goes and, you know, quarantining and not wanting to get this coronavirus. But I was so incredibly panicked about the state of the Irish Voice and, you know, how would it survive? I was in a complete state of distress. It was not a good time, March, the end of March, with all the shutdowns and the businesses shutting down. My fear was our printer will shut down, we won't even be able to print, and what will we do? But kind of everything held together. Certainly our advertisers stuck with us, which we are so, will always be incredibly grateful for. We got more print subscriptions because of people not being able to go to newsstands or whatever to pick up the newspaper. that was great. People stuck with us. Our newsstand sales held up as best as they could. We have Irish Central, which we started 11 years right. ago, maybe 12 years ago at this point, which continues to print a lot of our content. You know, Adrian, I'll be honest, our staff, we did more with less. People took pay cuts, and a lot of our freelancers just did stuff for, you know, bare bones, and everyone kind of banded together because they felt like the Irish Voice was something worth saving. And, you know, we survived. We have our Legal 100 every fall, every October, and this year, or in 2020, I should say, it was our biggest issue ever. People just, they stuck with us. They believe in what we're doing.
There is, hope is in the air. It's, I think people are as confusing as, you know, the do's and don'ts and the masks and the social distancing.
Yeah.
I think people are more than hopeful that we are heading, you know, towards the end of this, and that, you know, the very positive, you know, help and assistance now, particularly coming from the White House, and thank the Democrats, you know, that things are happening, and I think that the despair that lingered for the entire year, you know, is, well, there's a slight crack in the egg, and, you know, hopefully...
I think so, Adrian, with the vaccines rolling out now, and, you know, lots of people have gotten their second shots, and we're ready to go back to Ireland. We're ready to re-engage, and not even, you know, we're not even certainly ready to go back to Ireland, but we're also ready to have outings among our community, right?
Yeah,
all the dances, the dinner dances that we've met, and all the other social occasions, especially around this time of March that we love, you know.
And I just want to let you know, though, so I'm up front here, when you're going to Ireland, we're going to be on the first flight, only Sheridan and I. We don't want any of this jumping the line, you know, because...
Can I be there, too? Can I go with you?
Well, yeah, but, you know, stay on the line, you know.
Oh, I never jump the line. I'm always at the back of the line. Neil O'Dowd might jump the line, but not me. No, I'm not a line jumper, no. I know my place.
Debbie, thank you so much
for
joining us, and we want to wish, of course, you and Neil and everybody at the Irish Voice, and of course Irish Central and Irish Mercy Magazine, nothing but the best.
And Adrian and Onya, the same to you. You are our soundtrack, and we love you guys. And thank you for everything, and you just keep it going, Adrian.
Thank you so much.
Debbie, you're the man. Over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy.
My father's favorite song.
The Garden of Eden has vanished, they say, but I know the lie of it still. Just turn to the left at the bridge of Danae and stop when halfway to the hill. There you will find it, I know sure enough, when fortune has come to my call. The grass is so green around Valley Jane's, and the blue sky is over it all.
my sister Betty and her husband David and my brother Fenton and
my mother. Told me that when I was born, the day that I first saw the light, I looked down that street on the very first morn and gave a great glow of delight. Now most newborn babies appear in a hut and start with a sorrowful fall. But I knew I was born in the valley gazed up, and that's why I smiled at them all. The baby's a man now, he's toy. The whispers from over the sea, come back, Paddy Riley, the valley changed up. Come home, Paddy Riley, to me.
Friends who are listening to Irish Radio Network, usairishradio.com. And my very special guests are, you know, I don't know what to say, that they not only do they survive in running the Irish Repertory Theatre, but never short of their innovation. And Ciarán. And Charlotte, Ciarán O'Reilly, Charlotte, very welcome on this St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy Paddy's Day. Happy Paddy's Day.
All right. Let me again say that our, for Ony and myself, our collaboration with the Irish Rep is something that we are so proud of. And my God, the job you've done, you know, over the years. How many years is it now, anyway?
It's 33, isn't it, Ciarán?
It's 33 years, yeah. 33
God.
Years, I guess. Yeah.
Wasn't that very young to get involved with you in the first place, really?
Adrian and we've never had a fight. And if you believe that.
Okay. Tell us, though, about, let's go back a year ago, and as many of us will know, the shock was enough, to turn us into a rock, like...
Adrian, I'm going to let Ciarán do that, because he had a show rehearsed and ready to move into the theater on the day it happened. Ciarán, tell us about it.
Oh, indeed. We were all just taken, sideswiped at that time. We had two shows running at the time, and another one in rehearsal about to go in, and another one about to start rehearsal. So it was a touch of the poet, and there we go. We closed the door, and said, okay, we'll be back in about a week's time. Let this blow over. And here we are a year later, Adrian, we have found our way in a different way of doing things. We went online and did a good number of productions. We're on to our 14th at the moment, as we speak. And
wow.
We're gonna, yeah.
And
kinds of stuff, Adrian.
I want to ask you, Charlotte, about... the creativity, the total need to do something rather than wait it out. I think most of us who thought about waiting this one out were totally, probably were in denial.
Lovers?
Well, yes. I came home as so many people did. They kind of went home to be with their family and help their family and to isolate. And I wasn't here 10 minutes till we were working on two or three productions at the same time. When I'm here, I work 6 days a week instead of five. And we've just never stopped, Adrian. I think a creative mind, and you've got one, you know it very well. Creative minds don't quit, and we kind of accommodate ourselves to whatever's going on and go with it. I mean, World War II brought the best music that America has ever produced,
yeah.
and made. And I think I'm very proud of what we've done in our 13 or 14 productions that we've done. Aren't you, Kieran?
I am. The only thing I would object to on this is that I actually work 7 days a week, and so she's out there.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Kieran. I'm so sorry. I forgot about that extra day. After you leave church,
yeah.
You go right to the theater.
Yeah.
And of course, World War II was a very, you know, I was a very long time away from me. So
yeah.
I couldn't really talk about that. I would be more about the Iraq War or something
like
that.
Well, if this guy's going to get snotty, we'll cut him off. You know, that's it. on this special day, I would like to indeed talk about and just capture the wonderful relationship that not only our association with you has, but what you have done with the Irish community and the American community. You've brought, you know, some tremendous, you know, closeness to perhaps an audience that otherwise wouldn't know as much as they do about Irish culture. To both of you. Okay, very happy St. Patrick's Day. Friends, we're about to welcome, a very good friend of ours, and she's editor-in-chief of... Okay, we're... I want to give you a taste of the Irish and how they got there. It was written by a famous author, of course, and Frank McCourt is called The Irish and How They Got That Way. So let's go to the original recording of the Irish Repertory Theatre. With a little medley.
And along the children, secrets of my heart.
Kieran Sheehan.
Why we self-certainly fear.
Fare thee well, my lovely God.
Kieran O'Reilly.
Only for night in Ballygrown,
or was there more
Garden of Eden has vanished, they say, but I know the lie of it still.
Dedication here to my sister Betty, David, her husband, Walter, my brother Vincent, Alva, Amy, Kildare, and my sister-in-law, Frances.
The great gales of Ireland are the men that God made mad, for all their wars are merry, and all their songs are sad.
No doubt that priceless assessment was offered by an Englishman.
And on this St. Patrick's Day, we're going to head over to the New York Irish Center here to the Executive Director, George Heslin. George, you're very welcome to the program. And happy St. Patrick's Day.
And a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you too. A different one this year, but greetings from everyone across the city from the New York Irish Center.
George, just give us a capsule, if you will, of the new. I know you're celebrating 15 years there as well. What do you do, and how has the last year affected, your services? Tell us anyway.
Well, the New York Irish Center is located, as you probably know, in Long Island City, just 7 minutes on the 7, one stop from Grand Central. And during the pandemic, actually, the center did not close. In fact, we remained open. And in fact, we did fundraising. We did food drives. We were very, very busy internally. And also, we did food drops for our senior community throughout the year, phone banking. And a lot of our programming moved online. So, I mean, while the year has been very difficult, in terms of not being able to hold in-person events, we have been very active and creating new programs here at the center, online programs as well, For instance, we launched Irish Choir, New York's first ever Irish Choir. So that's something that we set up online. That's going wonderful. And then for today, actually on St. Patrick's Day, we launched another new program agent, which is called St. Patrick's Day Through the Window. So what we have today from the New York Irish Center from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., we actually have four MCs broadcasting from the window at the New York Irish Center. The MCs are Kathy Maguire, Maria DC, Karina Galvin, and Mick Malampy. And we have numerous guests passing through here, and our event is called The Gathering. So it's an annual event that we're going to do here at the New York Irish Center. But this year, so people are welcome to come by and see us through the window where we'll be doing interviews, and all of this is available online as well. And another wonderful thing we're doing for St. Patrick's Day today is at 4 o'clock we have a project which is called History Loves a Parade. And this is where we have gathered, this is produced by Turlough McConnell, the great Turlough McConnell.
Yeah.
And we have gathered together 6 or 7 of the top American historians. And we have a wonderful presentation showing with images, with sound, with video, the entire history, the 260-year history of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. So that's what we're up to here today. So please feel free to come by. Everyone is welcome. And we will continue through the window.
And also, for those who would like to watch that and not in your area, how do we go about that?
Yeah, the easiest way to watch it is just go to our webpage, newyorkirishcenter.org. So you can join us there throughout today, and you can catch everything there at newyorkirishcenter.org. And wishing everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. Come on by.
Thank you, George Heslin, New York Irish Center.
Thank you.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio, Irish Radio Network USA, and I want, friends, I know there's a lot of celebration, hilarity, and great Irishness right across America, but we also have to bear in mind not just us as immigrants, but for the generations that came before us, many, of course, coming here as a result of the Irish famine from 1845 to 1852. Here's the song. It's Emigrant Eyes. Well, friends, you know, I think all of us like to be right, and today, St. Patrick's Day, and I was right about one thing, and that is that there was no way that the St. Patrick's Day program, radio program, coming from New York, would be only 4 hours. As a matter of fact, restraining ourselves, I am anyway, to hold it to 5. But Anya Sheridan, who, she's the boss lady, and she says, wrap it up. So, but before I do, I want to, first of all, give a shout out to Joe Finn and to the Finn family. You know, when I came, it was I was 17. And I came with my brother, Enda, God rest her, and his wife, Frances, who's hale and hearty. We came, of course, again, because through the sponsorship of my uncle Paul and his wife Kathleen. We came, and it was, you know, we kind of took it for granted that that's what, you know, uncles and aunts and cousins do, and at the time that was necessary. If you didn't have somebody to sponsor you from Ireland, you weren't coming here. But one of the first people that we had met here was, of course, Joe and Frankie Finn. Frankie was from Aclare, the same town, village, that, you know, my sister-in-law, Frances Curran, came from. And the Finns welcomed us. And to this day, you know, we have remained and have as great friends for a lifetime. So for Joe and Eileen, the Finn family, again, we want to have great memories, and most of us recall those early days as immigrants to Ireland, or immigrants to America from Ireland. The song we're going to end here with is one that I dedicate especially to two lovely, great kids. One of them is called Sebastian Paul. The other is called Scarlett Pia. Two grandchildren, 4 and 6. And this is their song, so maybe it's a great one to grow out on. Of course, to Andre, the dad, and to my daughter Kathleen, they also are very much remembered, and we cannot wait to get to the Puerta household and hug and lift up and kiss our grandchildren. I'm sure most people listening to this program, a lot of them anyway, are waiting for the same thing. Here is the song requested, and I think you probably recognize it, and if you don't, we'll sing along anyway.
Here's a little song we recorded back in 1900. See if you remember it, and hopefully so will we. 1, 2, 3. Well, a long time ago, when the earth was green, there were old kinds of animals than you've ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born, and the loveliest of all was the unicorn. And there's three narrow licking eagles, the long necked geese, the monkey, the camel, and the chimpanzee. So cat, the rat, and elephant, the truly just born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some cinnamon, and it hears his king, and he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, and tell you what to do, tell me a floating zoo, and take some of them green alligators, the long-necked geese, the hunchback camels, and the chimpanzees, the red-breasted elephants, the truly good boss. Don't you forget my unicorn. Old Noah would sell to answer the call, and he took making the earth to that the rain started to fall. He marched in the animals 2 by 2, and he called out to say, what's the room? Hey Lord, I've got your green alligators, the long necked geese, the monkey back camels, and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn. And the world looked down through the driving rain, and the unicorns were hiking, they were playing silly games, they were picking on a spot while the rain was falling. Oh, them silly unicorns, two green alligators, the long necked geese, the monkey-backed camels, and the chimpanzee. Noah cried, close the door, because the rain is falling, and with your chance wait for no big unicorn. Then the earth started moving, and it drifted with the tide,
and the unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the water came down and sort of floated them away. Sure, that's why you've never seen a unicorn to this very day. But you'll see green alligators, the humpback teeth, the humpback camels and some chimpanzees. The best in life and elephants, as soon as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn.
And I'm Adrian Flannelly, and on this, our 51st St. Patrick's Day program, we want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for, of course, supporting us, and, you know, we're here because you're listening. We want to thank again, you know, Tourism Ireland for supporting today's program. And finally, this is a great St. Patrick's Day, no matter where we are. Very different, and but we do want to remember on the way out the door here, because I'm sure most of us do, those we loved who are no longer with us due to COVID, and we can most definitely you know, keep them in our memories. It's been a tough year, a sad year for those who lost some of their family and friends. Fonya Sheridan, the executive producer of programming on Irish Radio, Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com, and she rules me in Flannelly Promotions. Friends, join me and all of us at Irish Radio. Our broadcast group, all who made this today possible, okay? Our directors, all of us, to all of you, have a very, very happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks, God bless. We'll be back with you, of course, on Saturday, as we usually are. And I want to let you know also that every interview, including the greetings and the links from today, will be archived shortly on our website, irishradio.com. And we want to thank those, of course, who did join us today and tell their story. They're all doing a great job. And anyway, love from us to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So long. God bless.